It's time to get on the Blunderbus, where we go on a journey into leadership failure. My name is Edward Vaughan. Join me as I travel far and wide on my special bus, the Blunderbus, and have honest conversations with great leaders about some of their greatest leadership disasters. On the Blunderbus, we think it's possible to learn more from your moments of failure than your moments of success, if you know the magic secret. And we also know that failure can be fun, especially other people's. We'll be hearing about some great boofhead moments where practitioners provide us with the pleasure of hearing about how they did all the dumb things and the leadership lesson they took out of it. As I drive around on the Blunderbus, I'm on the search for the leader who has done more dumb things than I have. Could today be the day where we have found them? So today, I've driven the Blunderbus over to Abbotsford in Sydney's inner west. I'm speaking to Sylvia Fragiacomo, who is a GP, mother, wife, and a church member. Sylvia?
Yes?
Tell us about your moment of failure.
Good morning. I thought about a moment of failure, and I realised that my failure is that I'm incredibly anxious about failing.
Really?
And yes, I'm dutiful and I am someone who pays attention to detail and to stuff up and make big mistakes, which actually happens reasonably often. But it's something that really, really upsets me. And so my thought, as you asked me about this, I think back to where this might have originated from.
Yeah, right.
And I think back to something that happened when I was in year six.
Wow. So you're probably about 12?
11 or 12. And I was voted school captain of my little primary school. And it was a school that was in a moment of tension.
Yes.
Because the very conservative nun that was principal had a great dislike for my year six teacher, who was a charismatic Catholic, who was very alive in her faith and excited about it. And so there was tension there.
Yeah.
And perhaps encouraging the school captain in what she was to do might have fallen by the wayside in the middle of this tension. And so I actually remember that the most momentous thing I did that year was march carrying a flag at the front of the school sports carnival.
Okay.
So there wasn't a big role for school captains, really. Yes, and I also hate being the front person. I feel quite anxious about being interviewed or stand up in the front of church. I'm just not that sort of person. That's right, being on the Blunderbus. So it was an unsettled year, and just a little bit more in the picture is my parents were Italian, are Italian, and they had no idea about our school systems, and they really had no idea about what was going on at school or, you know, in terms of support, they were not someone I could lean on. But so I was keeping my head down, trying to keep it below the parapet, and I was at one of my best friend's house, and her mother was sort of would attend church daily, was in a little prayer group with the principal, and I was at my friend's house, and I overheard her mother say what a great disappointment I had been as a school captain.
Oh, no.
And so she didn't know I'd heard, and and so I had to digest this fact on my own because I didn't go home and tell anyone.
No.
But it sort of stayed with me that I was just, you know, not capable. And over the years, that certainly led to me never wanting to volunteer for a leadership position ever again.
Yeah.
And I probably haven't. At times where I've thought, I've really admired people who have stepped up to positions of leadership in a moment where there was a need, even though their natural gifts didn't seem to prepare them perfectly for that role. And I've really admired those people. But over time, I've come to understand that my way of leading is not necessarily from the front, but it's to support the people at the front and influence the people sort of being in the community, being part of that you know, the church membership is to be what influence I can amongst the membership.
So how do you look back on that experience as a child now? Yeah, how have you reflected on it?
Well, as a child, so now as an adult, you see that perhaps it was, so I want to say that my recollection may not be completely factual, but that's the way I recollect it. And that there were lots of things that were wrong with that scenario that didn't have to do with me.
Yes.
So the tension between the two influential people at the school was something that was an open sore, if you like if even I was aware of it. So I don't think that was well managed. I don't think my friend's mother should have been passing judgment or saying things. I know that these days there's a much greater support structure for kids who are put in leadership positions, and it's not just a label. It's, you know, give these kids a bit of an experience of leadership, and perhaps do maybe some of the stuff that we're talking about here, letting kids make their little mistakes and learn that you keep going even if you've made little mistakes. And then there's my personality makeup, which is that, you know, we all have our flaws and, you know, vanity and being particular about not being criticized, or that's something that I need to look at in myself and see.
But it is interesting, isn't it, that small thing can become quite crippling, you know,
And it still
limiting.
came to mind.
Right.
When Angus talked to me about failure, and I think, oh, maybe it's had a bigger influence.
And so the, you know, in a way, you know, what you're talking about, the failure is the fear of failure. So given all that, how do you see failure now?
So I still think that it's frightening.
Right.
I'm still frightened of failing, but I also think it's part of that having a sober understanding of yourself that these things will happen. And if you prevent yourself trying, then there's a loss there.
Yeah.
So there's a definite loss, whereas the fear of failure, you may do something wrong, but that's a possibility. Whereas if you never do anything at all, then that's 100% that you're not going to.
So have you been able to, I don't know, overcome that in more recent times, that fear? Have you been able to be perhaps more adventurous or, you know, in more recent years?
I think I haven't been in a position to in recent years. And before that, I think I'm comfortable with being a seconder.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the situation I found myself in.
Yeah. But an incredibly important role. You know, people talk about leadership from the second chair as a, you know, a particular gift and a, you know, a particular skill, really, and the importance of that sort of thing. And that's been your experience.
Mm. And the other, I guess, something else that has come back in recent years is understanding that leadership from the second chair, there is a responsibility to, you're not the yes man.
Yes.
Yeah, there is the responsibility to have input.
Yeah, yeah. So thanks, Sylvia. Thanks to Sylvia Frigiacomo for sharing about her leadership mistakes and what she's learned. At the St. Michael's Institute, our promise to you is that we can help you do more dumb things because we can help you take more risks and learn from what you're doing. Go to our website at www.stmichaels.institute, where we teach you how to fail better. Thank you, Sylvia, and we'll see you next time.